This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley, in for Terry Gross. We're listening back to Terry's 2004 interview with Mario Van Peebles, the son of filmmaker Melvin Van Peebles, who died last week at age 89. Mario Van Peebles directed the film Badass, which is about the making of his father's 1971 film, Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. Mario also starred in the film, playing his father.
I think the way you play your father in your movie Badass, it kind of walks the line between obsessively adhering to his artistic vision and being selfish, and walks the line between being confident and arrogant. I thought that seemed, not knowing him, to have a ring of truth to it. How did you see him when you were 12 when he was making the movie? Did you see him as confident or arrogant? Did you see him as selfish?
You know, I don't know that as 12 I analyzed it.
And when I say selfish, I mean because he was putting a lot of family kind of interests on the back burner to make this movie. He was totally obsessed. He was losing money.
Single vision, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's a driven cat. And, you know, there's that scene in Badass where he says to Big T, Big T is, the crew has spent a weekend in jail. And Big T, who's the big, you know, muscled sound man, is really pissed by this. And my dad has that scene where he says, look, you know, this is bigger than you. I got all my stuff on the line and all my family stuff. This is a war. It's our war to take back our imagery. We'll not be butlers. We won't be shuffling. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. And if you don't know that, then quit, you know? And if you're going to say you're going to kick my ass, do it. And if I was afraid of you, I wouldn't be the kind of brother to get this thing done. And that's very much my pop. And he's still that way to this day. What he believes in, he stands for. And I respect that. And he made changes. I wouldn't have been able to get Badass done the same way. I mean, now, 30 years later, I could get a union crew that was multiracial, where there were women on the crew, there were Asians on the crew. My DP was a 63-year young Jewish brother, and my Asian set decorator and designer, and the young sister with the fro who did the wardrobe. I could get, because my dad had broken the unions and made sure that these people could work. I directed a film called New Jack City in 1991-90, and the guy that came to me, who was my producer, Preston Holmes, said, you know how I got my job? I said, how? He said, because your dad was willing to get fired so that all of us could come on as crew. And he did get fired. And he insisted we stay. And that's how I got my job. Hmm. And so I look at the changes he made. And I'm like, wow, I don't know if I'd have the freedom I do now as a filmmaker had I not had, you know, this dad who was willing to pay the cost to be the godfather of soul cinema.
I know actors often feel that when they put on the costumes, you know, or the wardrobe for a movie, that they are transformed by those clothes. Now, in your case, you were wearing what I imagine were clothes very similar to what you remembered your father wearing when your father made Sweet Sweetback. So how did you feel in those clothes, saying the things you remembered your father saying and doing your best to become him? Could you just, like, talk about what that felt like?
Oh, to play your father, making a film that you remember him making, and you were on that set. I had some of the very same clothes that he wore. That sort of pimpy, crushed velvet, gold, obnoxious outfit, for example. I don't know where he got that outfit. That thing was horrendous. Anyway, I had them get me another outfit, make me an outfit like that. And we were shooting a scene in L.A. in the hood, and since it was an independent film and I only had 18 days to make the movie, I used my own truck. See, that was my camera vehicle. So I had my truck and I had the DP stick the camera out the window. He hadn't been to the hood, so he was like, he's a little nervous. He's sticking the camera out the window. I said, okay, here's the deal. We don't have permits for any of this. I'm going to walk on the other side of the street. And when I signal you, I'm going to run through the ghetto. And you photograph me, but we're only getting one shot at it because the second time I run through, they're going to recognize me. So I got on the Mac pimp daddy suit. I got the mustache just like dad. And I signal him. He starts driving the truck. They're shooting out the window. And I run past these old cats in the hood. One brother's looked up. He's been drinking Ripple on that same corner for like 90 years. And the guy looks up and he sees me running and he goes, Sweetback's back!
He came back. The brother came back just like he said he came back.
It was surreal. We went to the very same places my dad went in the ghetto because he was avoiding the unions, and in the desert because the unions couldn't find him and they were scared to go in the hood. And we went to the same locations and did the same stuff. I mean, 33 years later. In fact, we even shot on the very street he lived on, his office was on.
You know how no matter how much you love somebody, they often have like a certain gesture that really gets on your nerves? I'm wondering if your father had something like that, that you had to recreate when you were playing him.
Yeah, I did. There are many things. One is he eats with his fingers. And what he does is he says he doesn't want to eat anything. He likes to stay nice and slim. He's got a great stomach. He's, you know, he can still outrun me. He's 71 years old. He's a bad brother. But how he does that is psychologically, he's understood that what he doesn't order won't make him fat. So he encourages you to order something. He gets a mere salad or whatever. And then he'll reach over and put his fingers right into your food and sort of smack it up. The second thing is, growing up with my dad was like growing up if you're a woman and you grow up with Margaret Thatcher as your mother, whether you agree with mommy's politics or not, whether you agree with her politics, it would be very hard for men to convince you that a woman could have no place in the old boy network of politics. Growing up with my dad, who did speak French, who did speak Dutch, who was one of the first black officers in the Air Force, was never on drugs, was never in jail, didn't play basketball, and didn't rap, was liberating because I thought it's all possible. And that was the biggest gift, was that I saw the possibilities of what one could do.
Well, Mario Von Peebles, thank you so much for talking with us.
I love talking with you and would, you know, do it anytime. Green eggs and ham, anywhere, on a boat, on a moat, in Philly, wherever.
Mario Von Peebles speaking with Terry Gross in 2004. His father, filmmaker Melvin Von Peebles, died last week at age 89. This is Fresh Air.